She was a young Jewish girl in Roman-occupied Palestine. The times were hard, but she was hopeful. Mary was engaged to be married, and that was something of an interruption in what was typically a dull and difficult life. Her family, although poor, would stretch all of their savings and all of their extended relationships in order to provide a wedding party that would be the experience of a lifetime. And after that, Mary and Joseph would settle down to be like thousands of other couples that had lived a life of comparative drudgery for centuries before them. Mary's life was not exciting, but it was predictable. And there is a certain comfort that comes with predictability. But suddenly, almost everything in her life changed in ways that she could never have imagined. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be barren. She is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. And so God sent one of his angels to give one of the most unexpected and significant announcements of all of history. We might wonder why God did not come and make the announcement himself if this was so all important, although for reasons that we probably do not fully understand, God typically chooses to go through someone else. Gabriel, at least to my calculation, was rather abrupt in his approach. He said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." He didn't even introduce himself. He didn't show any ID. He didn't build up to this. He just sort of blurted it all out. But then when you think about it, when you have really important and life-changing news to give, how do you sort of ease into it? When I was a young pastor, after dark one night, I received a telephone call about the death, unexpected death, of the father of a young married woman in the congregation. At first, I thought I would telephone her and then relay the information. Then I thought, no, I need to be there. It wasn't something that I had ever done before, and driving out to the house where she lived with her husband, I rehearsed over and over in my mind the words that I would say, and I was frightened. I think I was trembling. My voice was shaky. I knocked on the door and went in and asked if I could talk with them, and then told her that her dad had just died. It was a short time after that her husband told me that I was rather abrupt in the way I said it, that I didn't ease into it, that I didn't build up to it, that I just sort of blurted it out. And I thought afterwards, I don't know how to ease into that. I don't know how you could think anything else but here that I had showed up late at night and knocked on the door. Obviously, this was something that was significant, important. And that's the way it was with Gabriel. Here he showed up to talk to this teenage girl. There was no easy and uncomfortable way for an angel to sort of broach the subject. He began with a complimentary greeting. He made clear to her that she wasn't in trouble. She hadn't done anything that was wrong. In fact, to the contrary, Mary was highly favored that God was with her. But the message that he had to deliver, he knew she wouldn't comprehend it. I'm not sure he comprehended it. He couldn't fully explain it because he had no full explanation. And so we shouldn't be surprised that Mary's first response was fear. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. For it seems to me that there is an inevitable fear that comes with the unexpected. We plan our lives, we predict the way things are going to be, and then we are caught by an unexpected job transfer or a promotion or a merger of our company with another or an unanticipated diagnosis or an unexpected pregnancy or a new boss or other major changes that come into our lives. And we feel what Mary felt, the fear of the unknown. How all of this fits together with all the other pieces of our lives. Gabriel, he must have sensed her fright. Not from what she said, because she didn't say anything of record. But maybe he saw it in her face or saw her fingers trembling. And so he decided that he would give to her some words of reassurance and that he would give to her a fuller explanation of what to expect. The words of reassurance: do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. I don't know how angels think, but, you know, come on, how much help is this? She's petrified, and he says, don't worry. I mean, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. It's going to be okay. God's in this. I've spoken words like that to people. I've had people speak words like that to me. A few years ago, while traveling in the People's Republic of China, one night I was on a streetcar and I was very protective with hands in my front pockets of my wallet and my passport. But then when the streetcar lurched, intuitively, I reached up and grabbed the overhead rail, and in a split second, a pickpocket reached in that pocket where my passport was, and it was gone in this sea of people, and I was frightened. I was frightened for lots of reasons. I didn't know where to go or where to turn, and it was a strange and different, a communist country. Unlike most other countries where you need a passport to get into the country and to get out of the country, in China you need a passport to travel from place to place. And the provincial city where we were was a city without a U.S. consulate, and I didn't know how I could get to a place where I could get another passport. And so went and reported this to our traveling companions, and they prayed with me. And then Charlene said to me, now, don't be afraid, Leith. Don't worry. God's going to take care of this. And I thought to myself, she's got a passport. what kind of advice is that? After a service here at Wooddale Church one day, I was walking out, and a woman stopped me, and she was crying. And she said that, to her surprise, her husband had just left her. And she had no money. She had no job. And she didn't know what to do. And she didn't know where to turn. And she was hurt and angry. I think angry with God as well as her husband. And I talked with her a little bit, and I didn't really know what to say. I called her by name, and I said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God will take care of you. And I think the words seem so inadequate. I think they just sort of slipped by her. You know, it turned out that God was with me in and out of China, that he not only provided a means to get to a place where a new passport could be issued, but also provided an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone that it never would have happened if the passport hadn't been stolen. This woman, it took months, it actually took years, but God provided for her. It's not that she would have ever chosen the path that was imposed upon her, but the truth is that God took care of her in spectacular and wonderful ways, and what started out as great difficulty turned out to be an unusual blessing from God. For Mary and for us, it's true that although we may not feel it, we may not hear it in the throes of the fear at the time, it's true. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Gabriel not only gave those words of reassurance, but he also gave an explanation of what she should expect. He said, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." And that was supposed to explain it. And I think she must have been more scared after she heard this than she was before. She must have been frightened by what he said. She wasn't royalty. She wasn't political. She had no categories to process all that had here been said. She wasn't even married. She was a poor teenager in a volatile chapter of history in a difficult part of the Roman Empire. Here she was looking forward to a calm, happy life, and all of that was interrupted when she heard this angelic explanation that she did not understand of what was going to happen and that she was part of it. But God was doing something great here. This was God's great day, God's great act, God's great revelation to humankind. It was when he would bring his son from heaven to earth to accomplish the otherwise impossible human salvation. And that she was going to be part of it. Not the center of it, but a significant, important role. But she didn't understand that. It would take a lifetime and more for her to get the whole picture. This was, at best, only the beginning. And so when she was told this by the angel, there must have been a million questions that went through her mind. That's what happens to us. Questions so many that we can't even verbalize and they become tangled together in our thinking. She must have wondered, when will this happen? And why me? And who else knows? Have you told anyone else? And what will it be like? And what's my family going to say? And his name, Jesus, you've already picked out his name? Is there any flexibility here? I mean, this is a very common name. I'd like to name my own son. And he's going to be a king? Will I be rich? Will I be powerful? Am I going to be famous? Will it hurt? What's going to happen to me? What if I don't want to do this? Could it be somebody else? Was there somebody else? Am I third choice? Mary had all these questions, and so she blurted out the first one. Turned out to be her first and her last question to the angel. She said, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" We don't know if that was a scientific question or a relational question. She was young. She was single. She was sexually inexperienced, but she did know enough about human physiology that it required intercourse with a man for a woman to become pregnant. And so she asked the question that came to her mind. Has God ever asked you to do something that just caught you by surprise? Asked you to take a new job that would be a significant cut in pay? Or to go to a place that you've never, ever considered on the map of your mind as a place where you would live? Or to stick it out in a difficult relationship when everybody around you continually counsels you to abandon that relationship? Or to take on responsibilities that are beyond your training or education or what you think to be your skills? Or to give away money when you don't have enough already to make ends meet? Or to take a step in your Christian life that you think is the kind of relationship with God that other people have, but you have never imagined for yourself. When God asks you to do something that catches you by surprise, you too have a million questions about cost and timing and place and relationships. And the truth is that if all of the questions were answered, we probably still would not understand. The reality is that often God's answers raise more questions than we had in the first place. Gabriel told Mary in answer to her question, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Right, like she understood that. Like that made much more sense to her than anything else that had previously happened. People have been reading that and debating and discussing it for 2,000 years and still haven't figured out all that was involved or how it happened. let's not think that Mary comprehended it right there on the spur of the moment. At best, it hinted that what would happen would not be fully explained, but that somehow, supernaturally, a virgin would become pregnant and that God would just work everything out. It was a matter of faith. Gabriel explained it by saying that nothing is impossible with God. That if you trust God, God will take all of the loose ends and he will tie them together. He will take all of the jagged ends and he will make those edges fit into a way that is smooth. You may not understand it while it's happening. You may not understand it after it's happened. This is a God thing. And she was being asked to believe this. I'll tell you, a lot was expected. A lot was asked of Mary. She was being called upon to simply believe. But what that meant for her is that she would take a step of faith and just leave the details to God, but she would be at risk with her family. How would her family get this? What would they do about the dowry that they had saved up for a lifetime? Would it no longer be available? Joseph, what were the chances that he was going to buy that an angel came and that God had caused this pregnancy? Probably he would abandon her. It would be the end of their engagement. She might become an outcast. People would call her insane, delusional, immoral. At worst, maybe the legalists in her society would go so far as to insist that she be executed for immorality. But if they didn't push it that far, she certainly was at risk to become abandoned so that the only means to support herself and her new child would be through prostitution. 10,000 things that could go wrong, and her only assurance was a five-word declaration that nothing is impossible with God. Mary was being asked to live by faith, to simply trust God. Not logic, not experience, not resources. Living by faith is not the same thing as money or job or security or familiarity or human guarantees. Living by faith is trusting God for a future that we cannot otherwise see or predict. And we all have those opportunities. The greatest of them is when God calls upon us by faith to become Christians. And that is when we say that we will not depend upon our resources, the good things that we do, or anything about ourselves, because we know that's not good enough. Instead, in faith, we will trust Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for our sins to be forgiven and for our eternal destiny to be in heaven. And if he can do it, we're in. And if he can't, we're lost. And then there are multiple other opportunities to live by faith. For some, it may be a call to forgive someone whom we really don't want to forgive. For another, it may be a divine stretch or a financial issue or forsaking a habit or maybe sacrificing a dream that's been yours for a lifetime. But sooner or later, God, whether he speaks it out loud through an angel or whispers it through the circumstances of our lives, calls upon us to totally trust him in things that would make no sense except supernatural sense. Calls upon us to be part of something wondrous and exciting and exceptional and mysterious, a supernatural opportunity for our lives, just like Mary. Well, I'll tell you, I am totally dazzled by Mary's response. If the social scientists and historians are correct at guessing, if she was typical of those getting married at that time and place, she was probably about 15 years old, maybe 16. And yet she demonstrated a courage and wisdom and insight that a lot of people don't show in a lifetime. Mary responded to the call to live by faith, saying, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." It's almost as if she signed a blank piece of paper and said, "God, fill in the contract. Whatever you say, without me knowing, I will commit in advance to do it." Amazing. You know, we'd like to think that when someone says yes to God without fully understanding, that life after that gets really easy, that suddenly all of the problems are solved and we're home free. That's not what happened with Mary. Those around her didn't understand. Joseph struggled with this supernatural explanation. She became pregnant, and when she was full term, at the very time when she wanted to be in a familiar place with her mother and family and those to help her through the birth of her child, she was forced by an edict half an empire away to travel the distance to the little village of Bethlehem, and there to be humiliated, to give birth to her firstborn child in a stable with strangers leering to see. And then, when you think that it was going to get better, the birth of her child triggered events that caused her to be forced to become a refugee, to leave her home country and to go to Egypt, to a different language and a different culture in order to survive. And when those years passed and she was finally able to go home, she had the exceptional task of trying to raise a most unusual child. And then in the process of all of that, her husband died. And she was left as a single mother with a family to provide at a time when that was a hard thing for her to do. And then when her son grew up, something happened that we would wish upon no parent. For the normal order of things that we expect all of our lives is that children will see their parents die, but never that parents will see their children die. And yet she was the witness to the horrific death of her own son and stood there while he was buried. Her life did not become easy because she said yes in faith to whatever God asked her to do. But would she do it over again? Absolutely. If asked what she would change, she would say nothing. She was at the epicenter of God's greatest acts on earth. She indirectly impacted the lives of billions of people for generations to come. Her life truly counted for God and for eternity. And in different ways, it seems to me that we also face Mary's Christmas choices. We all have to decide if we're going to live for ourselves or we are going to live for God. Are we going to do our thing or God's thing? There is a prayer that I have sometimes thought of but not always sent, sort of what might be called an offline prayer. It kind of goes like this. God, I'll do whatever you ask. I'll go wherever you send. I'll take any job you assign. I will give up anything that you ask, no matter how hard it is, whatever the cost, whatever the time, whatever the place, whatever the indescribable difficulty, I'll commit in advance, and then you can just let me know whatever you want me to do. I say offline because I fear that if I send that prayer, God may ask me to pay a price that's too high. He may ask me to go someplace I honestly don't want to go. He might ask me to do something I just really don't want to do. He may call upon me for something that I find far too difficult. But then I realize that in the end, it comes down to faith. Do I trust God or not? Do I really believe that the very best thing in life is to do what God wants? And am I convinced or am I not convinced that God will do me no harm? He will do me no wrong. And so I say, I believe. I believe and I trust God and that I don't need an angel to come and tell me because I have Jesus Christ to lead me. That I say yes in advance, even when I don't understand what that means. That I choose to live by faith, just like Mary, and just like you. For you too are asked by God to do things, things for which there aren't adequate human resources or explanations. You may already know what that is and have to decide whether to live by faith and say yes, or as so often is the case, you may have no idea whatever that entails. And then have the same Mary situation where the yes is a blank contract and you say, God, whatever you want, at any cost, wherever it is, whatever you say, I will resolve and commit to you in advance that I will be your obedient follower. I'll do whatever you ask. Like Mary, I too shall live by faith. God, hear the answers of our hearts and help us, as we know you shall, giving to us the resources to do supernaturally the things that otherwise we could not and probably would not. Lord, I pray that you will hear from each of our hearts the answer of faith, yes, for Jesus' sake. Amen.